Weekly.
Is MMO Weekly.
All right, I guess we're gonna do this. Welcome back, my friends. The show that comes to you once a week on your Mondays. It's MMO Weekly. Mike, and Oscar Weekly. Hashtag MMOW. Hashtag MMO Weekly. We just watched, fresh off the Sunday night Golden Globes marathon televised event that we just watched. We usually start these with what we're watching. I'm co-host Mike One. That's co-host also Mike.
Yeah, also Mike here. We're going to start with what you're watching. It was going to fit our MMO Weekly
good
format
God, yeah.
So well, this whole show. We were like, we could have started recording this an hour ago. We know all the big stories. Now we're like, all right, Gaga's going to win. Cooper's going to win. A Star is Born's going to win. It's the favorite at the Oscars.
Nope.
Blah, blah, blah. And then the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
We asked for it, Mike. And our golden, at the end of our last Golden Globes episode, we were like, Hollywood Foreign Press, just keep us up at night. That's your words.
Yeah. Yeah, we sure did, didn't we?
And I was like, entertain us.
I didn't think about that until just now.
Oh, my God. Did
Look,
they just do that?
Hats off to a lot of film Twitter. They were right, and I was shouting them down saying they were nuts.
What did you know and when did you know?
Both
it?
And Vegas were all taken for a ride just now.
20 to 1?
That was Malik's odds of last check, yeah. That was Remy Malik. I think Bohemian was like 16?
16 to 1?
14 to 1, something like that?
Whoa.
We're going to get into all of it. We're going to start not with what we're watching, but this is the biggest story of the week, so this is, in fact, the news of the week, and it's what you're going to hear all day tomorrow on the Twitter sphere and otherwise, so might as well jump right into it. News of the week, biggest news story of the week is right here. News! So this is the biggest news story of the week, and we're going to start at the bottom. The last award of the night, Best Picture Drama. They obviously saved it because they think it's the biggest award, but it also was the one, ironically, that had the most drama attached to it.
Hashtag A Star Is Blank.
Yeah.
What you tweeted there.
Ugh.
I can't get over it, but you got some reactions from the Twittersphere here.
Yeah, look, we like doing audience interaction stuff, and obviously we don't have a chance to do a game tonight, so we're just going off of Twitter. It's kind of a weird place right now. Go figure.
It's weird.
A lot of people predicted this would happen in the days leading up to it. I couldn't wrap my head around it, but now that it has happened, a lot of people are upset about it, which is bewildering. But I think the most important part brought by Mark Harris at Mark Harris NYC, a brief reminder that not one person who voted for these awards is in the Academy. That's kind of important to remember. And also he says, or their right minds. Again, a lot of anger and disdain and cheap shots against Bohemian Rhapsody here.
Which is a movie we liked, by the way. In all honesty.
Yeah, sure.
It's like a B-minus movie.
Right, right. It's an entertaining movie.
It's a fun trip to the movie theaters.
Right. It's not. Oh, boy.
We enjoy it. It's not a Best Picture
at all.
Anything. There's like 50 movies better than this. I mean, right? Am I insane?
No, not absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Mike Adnan Virk from ESPN said, the fact at Bo Rap movie just won Best Motion Picture Drama is laughable.
Laughable, he says.
Captivating lead performance and concert scenes are well done. Otherwise, a perfectly forgettable musical biopic which takes giant liberties. Hashtag Golden Globes.
That was my biggest problem with it on our review. The OSP we gave it is that it's everything except the biopic. Everything except an actual biopic.
Yeah,
they kind of misconstrue Freddie Mercury's life story in it. It's not exactly his movie.
And for the record, this is a musical. They use songs to further the plot. They use songs that are several minutes long that are musical numbers to further the plot along. That is a musical. Why have two categories if we're going to put musicals in the drama category dramas in the musical category?
I can't believe we're here talking about a musical movie that should be in the comedy or musical category that it went for drama to substantiate itself and won the category, and it's not A Star Is Born. We're talking about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Listen, if you told me Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book won the two Best Picture awards 4 months ago when we just started learning about these movies and asked me to pick with my life depending on it, which was a musical or comedy and which was a drama, what would we have picked?
That's a fair point. Very good point. And speaking of Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book, Louis Vertel at Louis Vertel, Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book are definitely the best movies of the year, unless you ask the communities those movies were supposed to represent. Again, Film Twitter, not pleased with how these two movie categories, one more than the other, I would say, went.
Yeah, both of them are filled with controversy in terms of their promotional tours.
Yeah, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Production stories filled with controversy. Anyway, a couple more. K. Austin Collins at Melville-matic on Twitter said, heterosexuals did this.
That made me laugh so hard when I read it.
And our friend Matt Negley at Next Best Picture said, it happened, it fucking happened. There's no spaces in this. WTF, I'm so mad. I can't even read this.
It's all one word, all caps. Again, not pleased. Not a lot of happiness going on. So, Mike, let's start with our feelings about it. What was your first take when you heard Bohemian Rhapsody was going to win?
That's it right there.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Just it's speechless. But at the same time, I do think this is the Globes being the Globes a little bit. I know this is as crazy as they've ever gotten. Like, this is like The Tourist winning. The Tourist getting nominated, like a 50% movie, and then winning. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And they even had a chance. You think of Hollywood Foreign Press, if you want to highlight the more British films or the more BAFTA-type ones, they even had a chance to do that and put the old-school British monarchy film
on her rightful throne.
Yeah, and they didn't do that either. I don't know what the hell happened.
They're just trying to be different. And I heard people on Twitter saying, like, you know, the Globes don't care about their ratings. This is a ratings grab. This is a grasp for the ratings, if there ever was one. This is a conspiracy. This is the Hollywood Foreign Press getting together and saying, we need better ratings.
This is where I land 100%. On it. I tweeted this out. I don't think you're wrong. Bohemian Rhapsody currently stands at number 13 at the domestic box office on the year. I think by many accounts, it would be considered a popular film, and it's right. A feather in the cap against the need for a popular film category at the Oscars. But here's my question in the fallout to that. So Bohemian Rhapsody wins. The Favorite doesn't win in a much, I would say, weaker category, I think, objectively.
Yeah.
So does this do more for Bohemian Rhapsody at the Oscars, or does it hurt? Does it help Bohemian Rhapsody more, or does it hurt The Favorite more by what happened tonight?
Oh, it helps both, but it helps Bohemian Rhapsody become a Best Picture nominee.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Isn't that insane
to think about? We never thought it was a top 10 movie of the year. It's like a top 60, top 70. Mike, this movie is not on my top 70. It's just not.
I can't blame you. And never mind, this is all just based on what you do see on screen. You made the point. Never mind what happened behind the scenes with the production of this thing that was mired in controversy, and kind of the exact opposite, the antithesis of all these kind of a lot of these movements we've been having in the last couple months and years.
Well, very true. Now, Bryan Singer's associated with some lousy situations. Vigo had a major malfunction on the promotional tour with Green Book, and they just overlook these things. Now, the messages in the movies have been criticized. However, like, if you just break it down from the film, they're messages with good intentions. You know, the one about...
Is that what we're rewarding now? Like,
I think so.
They're rewarding what they think Green Book should be?
A stylish... Yeah, it's rewarding what Green Book represents. We're nominating a movie that is inclusive.
Oh, God.
And we're nominating a fun, popular...
So I go back to my question from last year's Rhapsody. Oscars.
Right.
Are we sure? Do we have any kind of check mark to ensure that the people voting for these things are actually watching them?
They're watching Bohemian Rhapsody. That's all I know.
That's for sure.
They're going to the movies to watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
If we prove nothing else from tonight's show, the Golden Globes.
Well, you know, think of the takeaways from these other better dramas and even better musicals or comedies like A Star Is Born. Without giving spoilers, they're harder watches. They're more nuanced.
I don't disagree.
More difficult to figure out.
There was a time and place, and by that I mean up until this year, right now, where that was rewarded as being part of, you know, the degree of
difficulty.
They
make us feel real feelings, not just... Which is a nice feeling for a second or two, but it's just depleting. It's like bubblegum. I get it. We're going.
I need to know how many members of the HFPA saw Queen live in concert in their formative years.
I hope they all did. I hope they've been waiting for this their whole lives to vote for the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. And I guess that's what happened. In honesty, they wanted this movie to win. This is their favorite movie. And their favoritism outplayed their film appreciation or criticism, right? Their aesthetics are put on the back burner for this movie being their favorite.
They're okay sacrificing a little integrity if it makes them feel good about look, obviously, again, and we say it so many times, we can't do anything but project and guess as to why this happened. But objectively, in film Twitter, in professional criticism, in the freaking critic sites, whether you go by Rotten Tomatoes, Metascore, IMDb, whatever your choice du jour is, Bohemian Rhapsody is not a top 25 movie of the year.
There is no world where this is better than If Beale Street Can Talk.
Oh my goodness. There's no world.
I mean, just you should have created your own category for Bohemian Rhapsody. The Freddie Mercury Award goes to Bohemian Rhapsody. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And they're out of their minds and they're all insane.
Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper
feel better right now.
Probably still sitting at the table staring at each other.
They feel better right now because now they know it's all ridiculous bullshit and they won't come there.
Well, and that's going to bring up yet another question. We continue with the big news from tonight. So we had a really good feel-good moment prior to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, but it's totally disqualified now, Glenn. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Is that right? Like there was a time about 30 minutes ago where Glenn Close winning Best Actress Drama cemented her as the Oscar favorite. And then this happened.
All our stats have gone to hell after this. We had a lot of stats for you in our previous two, like this Golden Globe series. But yeah, I mean, we both picked Glenn Close. Now, I shied away from it today. I'm like, Mike, change my pick to Lady Gaga. Yeah. I'm going with the momentum on film Twitter and everybody I listen to. I got to go back to Lady Gaga. She's going to win. She's got the best odds. Man, was I wrong. I was initially right with you, Glenn Close. Mm. And it does matter. It matters because that award typically goes to the Globe winner, the Globe recipient, like 70%, 80% of the time at the Oscars from the Globes. There is a carryover. And it's great that she won, and it's right that she won, I think.
I echo a lot of your sentiments. She actually hit on, first of all, her speech, I thought, was the best of the night. It sounded the most similar to something moving and impassioned, like we talk about Oprah, and yes, Oprah's was biased last year, but it was very moving.
We just came out of the midterms. That's the best campaign speech I've heard in years.
Close 2020, I'm down, absolutely. So I thought that was a highlight, and I think that will add to her legacy. I think she did strike a chord, because there are millions of people that do watch this. I'm sure the crossover with the Academy is quite high. I was so genuinely happy and surprised.
We high fived.
Yeah, we absolutely did. I was happy to pick Close. I said, though, on the record, I don't feel confident at all about it. I just didn't think that she would be there. I thought Gaga obviously was the biggest name. She had the best odds.
They gave Gaga an award for an American Horror Story. Next Best Picture said this, and then the whole cast of them on their podcast laughed when they said Gaga got an award for Best American Horror Story. So if the Hollywood Foreign Press was going to award her for that, of course they would award her for something that was actually pretty good. And
well, they did in Shallow.
Shallow, but not for Best Actress. Sorry.
So no, Glenn Close does take home Best Actress Drama. Moving on, the other Best Actress winner on the night, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, wins it.
Who's kind of drunk when she got up there, right? That was a ridiculous beginning to the speech, but it was fun and funny. You know, these are my bitches. Also, that was funny.
Yeah, she had to be a little surprised and happy and giddy too. So I was happy to see her. But one of the few awards. Listen, we started the night in our predictions, and we were both like 8 of 10. We're like, we got this.
We were cocky.
Yeah, arrogant. And then it just all came crashing down. And Olivia Colman's win was like the last vestige of hope that we had of ourselves, because we both predicted her.
Little did we know.
Yeah, and I think that's a worthy win. And that's what's so bewildering about a lot of this. Like, it got a lot right, I feel like, and I feel like most film critics will feel like. Olivia Colman certainly cements herself as a best lead actress winner or lead actress nominee. She's obviously going to make the field for the Oscars, but I think she actually has a chance to win now.
Absolutely. A Globe winner has pretty much won an Oscar every year.
Each of the last 10 years, yeah.
So yes, it appears that Coleman's going to be going up against Glenn Close down the stretch here. And that makes sense to me. That's a worthy duel for the Best Actress Oscar at the end of the day, in my opinion.
And it elbows out Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I never thought Lady Gaga, unless you considered the songs a part of it. But yeah, we're going to get into it.
No, we never did. You're right. But I think also we were heavily in the minority of that.
Yes.
Obviously, Vegas even had Gaga at the best odds. Not only has a Golden Globe winner gone on to win the Best Actress Oscar the last 10 years, but every year since 2002, 2003 has a Oscar winner also won one of the Globes. So that's a 15, 16 year streak right now that we're talking about.
Makes sense.
If that's where it plays out, you're right. Right now we have Olivia Colman against Glenn Close. Lady Gaga kind of takes a seat on the back burner. Toni Collette's in there. That's what I'm going to say.
I mean, Gaga could still pull it out, I guess, if A Star Is Born gets some backlash kind of love here.
Could be.
In a way. So I wonder if that will happen with the Academy. And we've seen a lot of backlashes this year alone. So I'm interested to see how it shapes out. We'll have an Oscar race update for you at the end with a few more addendums there. But in terms of the actors, Michael, we mentioned Rami Malek already. Christian Bale wins for musical or comedy. Rami Malek for drama. What do you think?
I felt like the musical comedy lead actor field. I mean, Rami Malek, we'll talk about. I that's a big deal. But I felt
Bale
like
makes sense.
I didn't feel like, I felt like it was a weak field. I felt like the five nominations, he was the only one that made any sense whatsoever.
That's
to win.
It's going to be a best actor contender at the end of the day.
Right, that you could take kind of seriously and see there at the end of the day in the Oscars. Yeah, I feel like that was very proper. And had he not won, I think it would have been just total upheaval and turmoil because I don't know what we would have been talking about. But again, things were going to plan up until the last three awards,
and
four
that being
awards.
Said, Rami Malek beat out some good contenders, some strong contenders for his win. But we see them as on the level of an Oscar winner at the moment. So that's shaping up to be a race, too. And, of course, the backlash love could put Cooper back in there. The actor race is still something I don't have my thumb on. I mean, I know what it is, but it's... I don't know who's going to win it.
We joke about Vegas losing money on A Star Is Born for Best Picture Drama. Yeah. Cooper was still a heavy favorite. Last check, he was either minus 300 or minus 250, which means you had to pay $300. Say he was minus 300. You had to pay $300 to win 100 on him. He was a 1-2-3 favorite, which is heavy. And Malik, when we did our preview show, was a 20-1 underdog. It makes 16-1, something like that. It makes no sense. And yet...
Shocking.
The first shot across the bow was Rami Malek's name, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, huh,
yeah.
this isn't right. And little did we know what was soon to come. But look, Rami Malek, you got to take him seriously. You're right. It feels like an Oscars performance. It is a worthy performance on the face of it. I think Cooper did a lot, just being biased now, I think Cooper did a lot more in his.
Right.
I don't see why he's being cast aside so willingly, but again... There's no crossover between the HFPA and the Academy. We don't know if this necessarily means much of anything.
True.
And I wonder if there's going to be such a backlash against Bohemian Rhapsody winning this award, as there seems to start to be. Who
that
knows?
The Oscars would just take the high ground and not.
I don't know. I mean, I could. There's a world that exists in which I could see that.
It should not nominate Bohemian Rhapsody. Absolutely.
I don't think it should either, but you know, who knows? And I could see a wild backlash. We're just on the heels of it now. We'll see what the next couple days have. As far as Christian Bale's chances, winner of the Best Actor Comedy Musical category, hasn't won the Oscar since 2011. John Desjardins won for The Artist, and before that, well, not since Jamie Foxx in 2004. So only twice since 2004 has the comedy musical lead actor gone on to win the Oscar as well. He thinks it kind of puts a little bit of a kink in his plans.
It could still be Cooper and Malik at the Oscars.
Yeah,
bottom line.
That's a long way of me saying that. Yes, thank you.
Alfonso Cuarón from Roma wins Best Director. Michael, he was on his phone for much of the show. I think editing his next movie.
Yes.
But he did, you know, take a break and walk up there and
grace everyone with his presence.
Give a few speeches that were very strong. Nah. You know, he made me emotional when he thanked his mother. He's like, my mom practically directed this film. I thought that was a great moment. I think it makes some sense that he won. I'm glad they didn't have a bonkers winner there, because they could have. They could have picked Peter Farrelly there, which would have been a bad move in my opinion.
There were like two movies that you and I were just raging against.
Like, this is the compromise candidate pick. This is the one that is just like...
And they both are the
like
best picture winners and
fast
other...
Fast food.
Multiple
what
Golden
are we
Globe
doing?
Wins. Yeah.
What are we doing?
I'm very happy for Cuarón. I think He's definitely in play now for a couple Oscars. He can take home multiples. Last 3 years, the Golden Globe winner of the director category has won the Oscar. And 4 of the last 5, the same thing has happened. But from 2000 until 2014, so 6 years ago now, only 6 of the 15 Golden Globe winners would raise Oscars gold in this category. So there was a precedent where this meant nothing on the large scale.
Right.
I think Roma makes sense for Cuarón to be taken most seriously, right? I think he kind of has established himself. He's got an award-worthy picture here. A lot of people are impressed with the cinematography, not just us.
Yeah, Roma comes out ready to contend at the Oscars.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, I would be happy to see it too. It seems like he really put his heart and soul into that, and you saw that in his speech as well. And he got a little misty-eyed and he choked up. So it was nice to see. And God. Can it be a Best Picture contender? Can anything be a Best Picture contender now to bail us out of this Bohemian
now,
Rhapsody
everything can be
Green
a Best
Book
Picture contender.
Spiral that we're in? Oh, man.
It's opened up, Michael. The Golden Globes have just opened it all up. But yeah, no, Roma was going to be a Best Picture contender no matter what happened tonight. And I think so. I know you had some thoughts if it lost Best Foreign Film, but the Globes are just weird with Best Foreign Film. There's
sure
stats
are.
You're going to have later. So we're going to kind of take a break from the big awards and kind of go through some highlights of the show now. We're going to technically call this our What We're Watching segment, even though we've kind of just been doing that the whole time. But yeah, this is MMO Weekly. We always talk about the movies that we've been watching the last week that we haven't reviewed in our own OSPs. Now, Michael, how do you think the host did? What were some big moments? You know, let's start right off the top there.
I thought it was an odd pairing.
Right.
To put Sandra Oh with Andy Samberg, because Andy Samberg is such an established veteran of live stage. And Sandra Oh, she's a phenomenal talent, but I don't know, to my recollection anyway, that she has so much experience in front of a live crowd. And that kind of showed.
Yeah.
I thought that Andy Samberg seemed much more comfortable, but Oh did, I thought, fine.
I wonder if they thought this was the kind of dynamic duo or the relationship they wanted at the Oscars with Franco and Hathaway years ago. One person's a comedian, right? Franco's a comedian. He's in comedies. He just, you know, became a superstar from Pineapple Express. And then Anne Hathaway is going to play like the straight man character and set him up.
Sure.
And then, you know, sneak attack the audience with lines of her own. This duo, I think, you know, culminated that principle much better than Franco and Hathaway did. This actually worked for the most part. I mean, they had their ups and downs.
I agree. And a lot of those ups and downs, at least for me, were in the very beginning. I feel like she got more comfortable as the night went on. She got more used to it and got more in a groove. That masturbation joke she made about the cast of This Is Us, how they have you crying every week, so you're going to need to grab the tissues because you're going to masturbate.
Hey, Bradley Cooper. You are hot. Yeah. And like, that's funny. Like, you don't expect her to be funny like
no,
that.
No, they did that at the beginning, too, and that's kind of where she started finding her footing. They had, and Andy Samberg has done this bit before.
Right. His James Franco roast was like
yes,
the shtick.
Just being nice to everybody and then acting like it was a burn. Yeah.
That was absolutely the shtick of this entire monologue, really. You had Emma Stone with an assist screaming out, "I'm sorry," after
that
the Aloha joke.
That was very funny.
There.
That was very, very funny.
Ghost in a Shell and Aloha.
Yeah, you had
the
Sandra
only Asian
Oh criticizing how Asian roles and Asian pictures and Asian material get whitewashed so often, like Ghost in the Shell and Aloha. And we actually thought it was Scarlett Johansson at first, screaming from the side, "I'm sorry!" But it was Emma Stone for her part in Aloha, which was equally as funny. And Sandra Oh seemed to give her an appreciative smile, and that was nice. That was a cute little authentic moment.
I thought the Jim Carrey bit kind of worked, the double glasses to his face. That
I laughed.
Funny.
That was fine.
I mean, I laughed throughout the show until the Lost in Act Two moment later on. But, I mean, literally, I thought Sandra Oh had a big emotional closing there that made some sense, too. And, again, you can't do that if you had two comedians up there, really.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I also think any shortcoming that she had or they had as a duo or any chemistry issues completely got wiped away by Bohemian Rhapsody, because that's going to be the story from this. So people aren't going to have time to gestate on what they didn't like about the program, because everybody hated how it ended. And that's going to be the most memorable thing. To ride the coattails of what you just said about Sandra Oh's big emotional speech, it's a time for inclusion. I see you. This was this big, powerful message. Women of diversity, women of color, diversity in its own right. Let's celebrate it. We're here. This is our moment. It could change, but we're here now. And everyone was all ready to go in this big emotional speech. And then how do we follow that up? By awarding Michael Douglas.
Yeah, come
with
on.
With the oldest, whitest guy in the room, who's been a lead for 50 years now, with another golden
sexual
gold
harassment
globe. Yeah.
And lousy shit, too. So, yeah, no, it doesn't make sense.
That was weird. That was a weird transition.
Awkward transition.
You would have thought
stupid.
The producer or the director
Nobody
of the show
would have. Nobody planned it. Yeah, 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 dumb. Michael, you had a pick for Suit of the Night.
John David Washington looked fresh. He looked fucking awesome. I want that suit.
We were both like yelling at the TV. That was great. Jamie Lee Curtis. What does a director do? Laughs at Ben Stiller.
Cute.
That was funny. A couple other moments like the flu shots. Were those real flu shots?
We are asking ourselves that. Scott Feinberg had a video he put on Twitter of kind of being a little ways away from the text. Andy Samberg said they are all licensed professionals from the Rite Aid or something. They looked like they were actually injecting people. I can't imagine
like
that possibly
could
happened.
Could not be.
But that is Hollywood.
We are gullible saps.
Yes.
So it's possible. Mike, to mention that masturbation joke one more time for the good folks at home, Sandra Oh said, here's the cast of This Is Us. So break out the tissues because you're going to want to masturbate to all of them.
That got me good.
Yeah,
Did not see that.
That nailed me too.
Did not see that coming? Is that a...
And really, they had the setup of the day with, oh, here's this montage, all our epic Golden Globe moments that have touched us over the years. And it's just the hosts for like 5 seconds when they're at the Golden Globes last year,
yes.
And now they're hosts this
Very
year.
Good.
We gave up our Christmas for this. You hoped to host the Globes. And it's just a quick cut. And I thought that was great. It's a little parody on the Oscars, poking fun at the Oscars. Now, Michael, well, that's kind of like our best scenes when we do in every OSP. Best
sure.
scenes, worst scenes, right?
Yeah.
So just when we think they're going good for the most part, they're hitting on 80% of their jokes, we have some worse scenes because there's a whole hour of the show that it was like ridiculously boring.
Oh my God, the pacing
Lost
was
in Act
terrible.
Two, there's no jokes whatsoever. From the Jeff Bridges speech to some effed up jokes involved in there, Jack Nicholson joke, Les Moonves joke.
Yeah, that Les Moonves joke, I was like, oh God, because those people, the three stars of the Big Bang Theory, are still under contract with CBS in their final season, and Les Moonves just had his public falling out with the company at large, with the studio at large. So I was like, oh my God. God, what an awkward spot to put them in, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, he's going down to hit him on the way down. No. It makes some sense, but yeah, no, for them, it's got to be, you know, weird.
I would think so, yes.
And they didn't seem too happy when they're on the stage.
They did seem to grimace a bit, and that's quite understandable. I think that's a really awkward situation. If that wasn't planned ahead of time, if Andy Samberg didn't give them a heads up, I'd be a little worried.
Now, that Jeff Bridges speech, by the way, what was he doing?
Look, we love Jeff Bridges.
We do.
He's a dude.
Was he?
He's legendary.
Was he high? Was he in the persona of the dude, but written by Mike Lee or some boring screenwriter that you had to feed me just now?
Look. Jeff Bridges, your first mistake is suggesting that speech was written, because there's no way he rehearsed, practiced, wrote down, scripted, or anything. That he was thinking up there, thinking of people that he worked with in his past, as if he was coming up with it for the first time. He's like, here's a guy I worked with for the first time a couple years ago, Joey Chestnuts.
Yeah. What the hell? And they kept cutting to like people in the audience, like, and they're just like, what the fuck is it? Like Julianne Moore. It was so pissed off at this speech. It was just rambling on. And Bill Murray was just like daggers in his eyes.
And it's sad, too, because he's a very deserved award winner of the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Of
he's
course.
Done a lot for film. He's been in film for 40-some-odd years now.
Thankfully, the only montage of the night, and the best montage of the night, the Jeff Bridges career arc, was wonderful. I liked it.
That and Gerald Burnett, yes. The two lifelong award winners.
Yeah. They were both great montages.
They were. They were very... They were the exact opposite of what that speech was, because that speech seemed like he was just winging it on the fly.
Aren't you an entertainer, man? What is that? Anyway, the most boring speech, and then he ends it with, like, I'll tag you all. I'll social media the hell out of everybody
here. There was the bones of a good message in there. And it was like we could turn the ship around. He was trying to hit on hints of humanity and
let's
accepting
save the planet,
each other.
Let's poke each other on Facebook.
But God damn, Jeff. Oh, maybe go over it once or twice before you hit the stage. Yeah, that was not good.
You worked with all those great screenwriters and directors. How about somebody edit your speech for you? And that like your Lifetime Achievement Award.
That was kind of the kickoff to this lull in the programming we had.
It was an hour of just really boring TV.
Yeah, nothing. More commercial breaks, too, than I think there were in the first hour.
No, we saw some good wins in there. We were fine with it. And then they cram all... The worst scene of the night for me, the worst development, is they cram all the big stuff in the last 20 minutes with no real
because
fanfare.
Because they just dragged their feet for 50 minutes.
Dragged their feet. Yeah, lost in acting.
The last, the lead actor. I mean,
and in a quick curtain.
You didn't even have time to like gasp at Glenn Close's win or Rami Malek's win before you were outraged by Bohemian Rhapsody because by that point, by the time those awards came, we were past 11 o'clock. It was like a third base coach sending guys home.
Nicole Kidman walks out and says, and the nominees for Best Picture are. No shtick, no nothing. And it was basically the same thing for the Best Actors.
That shtick, that trope, that awards shows have started to do now where throughout the night they introduce Best Picture nominees and show you clips for them. All those can go. We get it. If you're here watching these, you know what the Best Pictures are. I don't understand why we need these video packages introducing them throughout the night. That just takes more time. I hope the Academy Award doesn't worry with those.
It makes sense. Or give us one montage of all the Best Pictures. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think we... You save it till the end. All right, let's talk about Do You Care now. Do You Care section. This is where Mike and I take new stories from Hollywood and ask ourselves if we, will we, or should we care about them.
So a lot of the side stories from the Globes here.
Yeah, it's all Globes related.
Yeah, it's really not getting into the Oscar projections as of yet. But Mike, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse wins Best Animated Film. Do you care about that? Does it matter to you?
I am convinced this is... Listen, it doesn't matter what I say because I am very wrong about a lot of stuff as we saw in our scores board. But I am convinced this is Spider-Man Spider-Verse's Day in the Sun.
Be happy while you can.
The last time the Globes winner didn't win the Oscar was also the last time the Globes didn't pick a Disney animated feature. And that was 2014 when How to Train Your Dragon 2 won the Globe but lost the Oscar to Big Hero 6 from Disney. So if you're going non-Disney, this is it. This is the pinnacle, especially in this year.
This is the time, and it's at its height of momentum.
Yes.
And so it makes some
and
sense.
And that song is really cool by Post Malone. I really like that song.
Yeah, good song. A lot of things we loved about that movie. Listen to our OSP. Michael, Justin Hurwitz from First Man wins original score. And one of our favorite movies of the year. Do you care about this one?
I care that First Man got mentioned as a winner on the Golden Globe stage.
Superior movie to Bohemian Rhapsody, please.
Give me a freaking break here. Look, Bohemian Rhapsody, again, entertaining. My lord, should it not have won, but First Man.
There's just no standard where Bohemian Rhapsody should be better than First Man, other than, like, in terms of film criticism and appreciation, other than box office, other than money. It makes no sense to me.
But now we're talking about two sides. I know we're still talking about Bohemian Rhapsody, but it is that big of a story. Now we're talking about two sides of the same coin. Can you be mad that a popular film rode its box office to award success when we've just been talking about how much we don't want and don't need a popular film category, and now it's like they picked the wrong popular film?
They did. They picked the wrong popular film. Pick the popular film I tell you to pick. That's right.
Yeah, it's another thing.
I care about my picks.
Yeah, me too. I was wrong on Twitter again. This is a bad week for me. Mike, Mark Ronson and Lady Gaga did win. A Star is Born didn't get
shut
out.
Thank God.
They won for Shallow. Do you care?
I care. It's not enough. Ask me another one.
Fair enough. Best foreign film went to Roma. All is right with the world, right? Alfonso Cuarón.
It makes sense. I thought I would see Cold War in there. All those films are so sad looking, even though I've only seen a couple of them. And I think they're all sad. And it makes me sad that all these best foreign films are always so sad.
No, that's like Andy Sandberg said at the top of the show. The world is a horrible and scary place and always has been.
Yeah, okay. It makes sense. So anyway, a sad film won. I liked this particular sad film. And I agree with it. So my Carol Burnett won her fifth Golden Globe tonight. This was a superior presentation in every way, shape,
hysterical.
Or form. to the Cecil B. DeMille Award presentation. I'm glad they led with this one. I wish they could have just done this one twice and say, Jeff Bridges, here's your award. Let's let Carol Burnett give the other speech. But how much do you care that she was given the inaugural Carol Burnett Award?
On the one hand, I don't know why it took so long to come up with a Lifetime Achievement Award for work in television.
Right.
On the second hand, I'm glad it did take so long solely because if they did it at any point prior, you know it would have been named after another man. And it should be named after Carol Burnett. It's a very worthy award name and a very worthy award winner. Like you said, her fifth Golden Globe. She also, her speech was fascinating too.
Probably. And she's still getting a joke in every 30 seconds still. For the Absolutely. Beginning and the end of it. And then the middle, she's serious. She just knows how speech has got to flow.
She's a great talker. You're absolutely right. Great orator. And her speech, she was marking the differences between past television and how they used to do things when it was just basically the four channels on the TV and what television is today. And the highlights, how they had a 28-piece live orchestra, 60 costumes a week, two guest stars a week, and this happened for 11 years of programming over the Carol Burnett Show. She's like, you would never get that today. Yeah. She's absolutely right. Because
giving us stats and jokes in the same speech.
It was so informative and kind of depressive, right? A little depressing that she's absolutely right. We're not going to get these types of things anytime soon with today's television. There's too many channels, too many mouths to feed.
And then she celebrates YouTube in the next sentence.
Yes, completely undercuts the event altogether.
Which is so funny because it's just so irreverent and old lady-ish or old anybody-ish.
Thank
old
you for this award show celebrating current television.
Yay, YouTube.
That
YouTube
was awesome.
Has got their shit together. But, I mean, she was also brief and to the point. And, you know, Jeff Bridges, I've done filmographies faster than you, man. And this is your own filmography.
The difference between everything about those two Lifetime Achievement presentations, like Steve Carell's setup was hysterical. He had a shtick. He had a bit. He was naming off different nominees for the Carol Burnett Award, and the camera went to them. And then Chris Pine was presenting Jeff Bridges. Chris Pine was drunk. Like, you did this, man. He's like pointing in the crowd. I don't know what the hell was going on there.
They just desperately going to reaction shots. That's when I knew it was a problem.
Yes, it was a problem.
He was up there rambling and just desperately reaction shots. Let's show the bored Black Panther table. Oh my God, they're so bored. Let's show Bill Murray
staring daggers.
And then freaking just killed me again, Julianne Moore. That face was from Still Alice. That was her Still Alice face. Like, you've blanked my mind for all time again because of your boring speech, Jeff Bridges. Anyway, how much do we care now? Of course we care. Regina King's proclamation was pretty awesome. She silences the music like a couple people did tonight.
Yes.
And anything she produces, Mike, will be 50% women.
Listen, if the Golden Globes is going to be the jumping off point from now on for big steps forward in the movie industry for equality, whether it's gender equality, racial equality, I'm in. I'm on board. I'll sign me up. I hope Oprah can give speeches every year. I hope Regina King can give speeches every year like this. This was awesome.
Yeah.
And this was kind of also the precursor to my worst moment of the night. And I don't want to undercut you if you have something to say about Regina King. But Megan Mullally coming out immediately after that. Now, Regina King says she wants to ensure everything she produces from now on has at least 50% women on the credits, up and down the card, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Really nice suggestion, really nice proclamation. And I hope she does stick to it. And I imagine she will. And then Megan Mullally comes out with Kristen Bell, as Mike just reminded me, and says, hey, Regina, we're available. It's like, yeah, that's a funny joke.
Oh, it's a corny joke. Yeah.
But it's also, like, it's not the time. But like, that just happened.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, maybe
let's make jokes again. Yeah, no.
I know. You're right. You don't want to take jokes too seriously. I know. You're right. But to me, it just struck me wrong. But again, like, I just laughed at it repeating it. So obviously there's humor in it. And I'm an idiot and I know nothing, as you can see by our predictions.
So we just, said something serious, said a couple serious things. So let's now do a segment called Trailer Thoughts.
This is the Trailer Thoughts section of MMO Weekly, and Mike, this is where we comment on the biggest trailer for the new properties coming out, sometimes
every
in
week.
TV, most times in films, and this was chock full of them tonight, Mike, in the Golden Globes. We had Secret Life of Pets 2, Captain Marvel, Bird Box, which just came out on Netflix, the Fozzie Verdon Show, Sam Rockwell's going back to FX, Dumbo movie coming out next year, Glass is shown, it's coming out in July, all these new properties, Mike, which were you most excited about, these new shows?
Winterfell is yours, Your Grace. I got one line, one new line
from Game of Thrones. The most excited you've ever been.
I was so happy. It's like, that's new, right? Holy shit, she's there. I can't believe it. Oh, thank you. Can't wait for HBO's new season of Game of Thrones. That's all I care about. These other trailers, whatever.
Whatever. The MCU, who cares?
Sam Rockwell, Michelle Williams. I'll probably watch that show too. But
yes, they all did look fascinating and fantastic in their own right, but you absolutely were giddy. You're like, was that a new line? Have I ever heard that line before? Are they giving us something new?
I can't believe it. We've been waiting for years.
If they stuck that line, that promo, in between the lull of the hour that the show was,
it would have made it totally worth it. Yeah. It's like Bohemian Rhapsody did with the great songs.
I love it. We'll finish up here with an Oscar race update.
The Oscar goes to...
And the winner is...
And the Oscar goes to...
The winner is...
The Oscar goes to...
MMOW's Oscar race update.
All right, this is the Oscar race update. We're going to finish up our coverage of the Golden Globe Awards show here, which is the couple categories we haven't hit on yet, and we haven't hit them for the specific purpose that they have what we think is the most impact going forward. Again, aside from Bohemian Rhapsody being named the winner, which we started off with News of the Week, but Mike, what do we have?
So the Best Supporting Actor and Actress categories typically translate. Again, it's like a 70-80%. It's a clear translation because... it's one category at the Globes. It's one category at the Oscars. So you can make that one for one. Michael, Regina King won Best Supporting Actress. This means a lot for If Beale Street Could Talk. What did you think of this win?
Means a lot for Regina King. Means a lot for the precursors because she was dominating those. Again, not even nominated at the SAG Awards. But here she did take home the gold. And I think that kind of cements this as her category. The groundswell of support... and why I picked Amy Adams was that this narrative I thought was going to get going to get Amy Adams her Oscar year. Typically, the Academy likes to have narratives going into their show as the cap-offs. I thought it would be the Amy Adams one. I did not think it would be the Bohemian Rhapsody year of upset, but that seems to be where we're going now. So Regina King, she seems safe. This is shaping up also to be the first three-year stretch since 2010 to 2012 where the Golden Globe winner has won the Oscar in each of the 3 years. 7 of the last 9 years the Golden Globe winner has gone on to win the Oscar. The 10th year, all the way back in 2008, supporting actress winner was Kate Winslet, who went on to win the lead actress Oscar anyway.
Right.
So
strange year that was.
Pretty much, 8 out of 10. This is her category now.
This is her category now. The critics have been saying it for a while on the Mortal Engine scoreboard. This puts her back in the driver's seat for the award, I think. I don't care what SAG does at the end of the day, I think.
I'm with you there. I think this is her
now. I think this is her category. I would be shocked if the Academy goes against what everybody's been saying so far. Because, I mean, look at it. It's a perfect, you know, path to victory, too. You got Amy Adams in a movie that is really repellent to the other half of the country. Do we really want to stick it in their face?
Hey, I have an apology to give you about fighting you so hard on that one being biased when Christian Bale said his inspiration for the Dick Cheney character was Satan.
The devil. And I'm great at portraying charisma-free
assholes.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell is... yeah, he's saying things like this. It was a hit piece.
It might have been a slight oversight on my part.
It was a hit piece. And yeah, it was kind of... you know, stay classy, San Diego. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I mean, Amy Adams, I mean, her performance is strong in that. I mean, we're going to get into these category reviews. I'm going to have a lot to say. I think the favorite actresses are on the level with Regina King. They're going to cannibalize each other.
No recognition, yeah.
And they haven't won anything big yet. So the next award, Michael, Mahershala Ali wins for Best Supporting Actor in Green Book.
This reminds me vividly of the supporting actress race last year. How everyone was just sure this was going to be Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird. And she had taken it by storm. She had won the precursors, blah, blah, blah. And then the Golden Globes hit. And Allison Janney wins. And then Allison Janney sweeps all the precursors all the way to the Academy Awards. And Richard E. Grant, we talked about how this was supposed to be Ali versus Chalamet, but Richard E. Grant came through, and he was kind of the big man on campus now, and everyone thought he was going to win. He had all this groundswell of support. And then Mahershala Ali's like, wait a minute. I was really good in Green Book. I deserve this category. He wins it, and I can't see absolutely him sweeping his way to the Oscars victory, too.
Totally, totally. And it's worthy. It's been there, done that. It's been there before. The Academy's loved him before. It makes a world of sense. Just watch the performance in the trailer alone. We're going to talk about that category. I do think that is, in terms of quality, there is a race there.
Sure.
But it needs to distinguish itself, that race, because right now you have a critical favorite in Richard E. Grant, and you now have a major precursor award going to Ali.
He's the favorite. Ali's got to be the favorite now, no doubt. 8 of the last 10 Golden Globe winners have gone on to win the Oscar in the supporting actor category. Rockwell won it last year, where he ended a streak of back-to-back years where the Globes winner did not win the Oscar. However, prior to those 2 years, the Globes had picked the same eventual Oscars winner the previous 8 times in a row. The one thing I will say, just be woke on, or stay awake on, or keep an eye out, Richard E. Grant doesn't have an Oscar on his resume yet.
Yeah, Mahershala
Ali does.
Sure.
Maybe they want to spread the love.
Well, I mean, these other award shows could change people's minds on the Academy. We have the Critics' Choice happening this week. That could, if that goes in Richard E. Grant's category like we think it should, boom, it could swing back in his favor, especially after the backlash to the craziest Golden Globes in a long time.
Oh my God.
You gotta wonder if this opens everything up a little bit in terms of discrediting them at the end of the day for picking Bohemian Rhapsody. But then again, SAG picked Bohemian Rhapsody too over at Beale Street Can Talk for Ensemble and all these other better movies. It's insane.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Favorite, Mike, is not nominated for Ensemble, and Bohemian Rhapsody is.
It's not even a matter of being nominated at this point, Mike. You can't even get mad at that. Is Bohemian Rhapsody going to win Ensemble now? Is it going to fucking be a Best Picture contender?
It might. It might. I mean, the way this seems to be received, it is a Best Picture contender right now. And I would think it's a surefire nominee,
yeah,
considering the SAGs.
No doubt now.
Considering the win at the Golden Globes, it would be very hard for the... And considering that everybody likes the movie and it has a powerful message that is a strong message, it is an inclusive message, it's a happy message.
Yeah, just
it's
so
a message
happens,
we get behind.
It just so happens that the message is that Brian May came up with all of Queen's greatest hits.
And yeah, there's a lot of, you know, white lies in there.
Revisionist history. Yeah,
right. All right. Revisionist history.
So we'll move on here. Best screenplay was also a shock, and if you're outraged at Bohemian Rhapsody, the odds are you're probably equally as upset that Green Book did so well on the comedy side. It took home Best Picture Musical Comedy and also took home the screenplay
category. This is another movie we liked. You know, we enjoyed this movie. It's like a solid B all day, maybe a low B plus for me because of the performances being so strong. We had major screenplay qualms with this film, and I'm going to see it again pretty soon. I think it's going to really hit theaters again, the release schedule is going to heat back up in theaters. So we got a story that we're going to keep breaking down, Michael.
Yeah, the history is a little bit against Green Book repeating this on the Oscars, too. But again, this was a crazy Golden Globe, so who knows? You could take all these stats, like you said, and throw them out the window. McDonough won it for 3 billboards last year, but the eventual Oscars winner, Jordan Peele, wasn't even nominated in the field. The Globes haven't chose the best original screenplay winner, the eventual best original screenplay winner, since 2014, when they gave it to Iñárritu for Birdman, Iñárritu and Company, I should say. And they haven't rewarded the eventual adapted screenplay winner at the Oscars since 2010, when they gave it to Aaron Sorkin. So history's all over the place here.
We've had 2 pods on the Globes so far this year, and we said in both of them that, in my opinion, I'll speak for myself, I think they are the weirdest in the best screenplay category. They're like dead on and they nail it better than the Oscars do, and I agree with them. And some years I just could not disagree more, and it almost, you know, encapsulates my disagreement. And this is one of those. Like, I think there are superior screenplays nominated in this category that this film beat out.
I don't
out.
Think there's any question. I totally
Makes no
agree.
Sense.
Feel free to speak for me whenever you want, by the way. I don't have a man of many independent thoughts. The best off-the-cuff joke, I thought, was Nick Vallelonga, though, in his acceptance speech. Sorry it took us so long to get here. We're the writers. We were seated in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Made us laugh hard.
Funny. Funny. I like Nick Vallelonga.
I do, too.
Guy.
Yeah.
Likeable
yeah.
script.
Absolutely.
Likeable movie. It's a likable movie. It's not. I don't think it's a movie that deserves to be up there. I don't think it deserves to be nominated.
Nick Vallelonga should write Bohemian Rhapsody too.
He could. They're networking right now at the Golden Globes party. Michael, I guess we want to end with this. We have an Oscar host problem.
We sure do.
Who auditioned for the Oscar hosting role tonight?
Well, tonight is one question. Let's back up the truck and talk about what happened Friday going into this, right?
Okay.
Kevin Hart supposedly had his big comeback, heartfelt apology, even though he really never did apologize again. that big interview with Ellen. Ellen reached out to the Academy, give Kevin Hart a second chance. Kevin Hart comes out. Some parts of that interview are leaked. Kevin Hart comes out and says, I'm reevaluating my decision, blah, blah, blah. And everyone thought this was supposed to be this feel-good moment. And it turned out to kind of fall flat on its face. And it turned out Ellen really isn't speaking for all the members of the LGBTQ community. And Kevin Hart didn't really apologize ever. And he still hasn't. And the fact that he's saying, how many times do I have to apologize, is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. So he has been taken out of the picture completely. I think he even said he's not going to do it. He came out again and said he's out. So now we do have this bigger opening once again, because the Kevin Hart controversy seems to finally be in the rear view. I think you and I both agree that one person stood out today, and it was your idea, who this person checks all the boxes, steals the scene, every award show she's on, and just give it to her. Why not? Go ahead, Mike.
Maya Rudolph. She's hilarious.
God. Awesome.
She kills it. And she stole another, like, hosting MVP, or what do they call that? Presenter MVP, Michael.
She's awesome. She is awesome. She has never presented on any award show and not gotten at least one genuine hearty laugh from people at home and the theater.
Just keep bringing up her SNL friends. Just keep bringing it.
Why wouldn't you?
If you have a host, like, she can, like, she can lead the way at times. But, all right, if you're going to bring up everybody, bring everybody up with Maya Rudolph and have Amy Poehler come up, and they're the perfect foils. They know how to play off each other. You'll have all the SNL friends coming up and hanging out with her on the Oscar stage. And it was just hysterical when she's like, the whole supporting actor bit. Like, supporting actors are the most important people in the cast. And then she sets Amy Poehler up perfectly, and Amy Poehler goes, those people are wrong. Movie stars are the lifeblood of our industry. And they're mentioning all the lines.
I have not seen a person, and she's, like you said, she's at pretty much every award show presenting. I haven't seen her not have chemistry with someone. And granted, a lot of times it is with other comedic people, whether actors, stand-up comics, whatever. But she's hilarious, talented, can sing and dance if she needs to. We've seen that previously. I think she checks a lot of boxes that you'd want.
She would
at this
nail
point.
It. I, you know, put her with Tiffany Haddish, who did it last year with her and presenting at the
Oscars. Ken Jeong.
Put her with, you know, Amy Poehler this year. Put her with anybody, and she's a part of the solution. Let's just say that. Maya Rudolph would be an easy decision. Put her with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he could be the song and dance man. He could be the guy who's kind of the straight man in a lot of jokes, and they can use the same formula that kind of worked tonight for the Golden Globes. I thought Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh sneak attacking us with some funny, with some comedy. You got the more polished comedian able to do his shtick for the most part, and he fell on a few grenades tonight. Some jokes didn't work.
Yeah, some they bombed, but, and when they bombed, you just keep on chugging along. What did you think from a political point of view, a bipartisan point of view, about tonight? Just the host duties.
Yeah, I thought the host duties, it was pretty generalized in terms of the, all right, let's be inclusive, let's reach across, let's bring people together. Even in some of the speeches, most of the speeches is pretty obvious that they're taking very broad strokes in terms of their political criticism. You know, some of the same taglines.
Yeah, it seemed
that
like there was a genuine effort made to not cross political lines too much.
Yeah, Robert De Niro was not guest host, was not presenting an award tonight for a reason. Even though
Unless he was wearing a Christian Bale mask. Yeah,
Christian Bale went up there and got very, very specific.
Sure, that's a nice way to put it.
And they took some shots, but there wasn't a lot of specific shots taken tonight. And I thought that was, I mean, maybe, you know, Republicans who watch this, they'll remember four or five smaller ones that I'm forgetting right now. But in my liberal bubble head, I don't remember a whole lot of them. I think they were, like you said, they were trying not to.
All right, so let's end on this. You have it written down here. I'm just going to read it right off. Bohemian Rhapsody, is it a real contender?
I hope not. I think...
Me too.
I think it's an inferior movie. I think it's a B-minus movie. I think it would be a terrible decision by the Academy. And I don't want to see it winning much more after this. Let's just let the Golden Globes, you know...
I can't wait for these guilds, man. It's going to be very interesting to see what these guilds say. Green Book. Is Green Book a real contender?
I do think Green Book is a real contender, but I don't think it's a contender... Well, It won the Toronto. It's been winning People's Choice Awards. Yeah, you know what? I do think it's a real contender. I think this matters. I think the Golden Globes matters. It's historically mattered. And I think both of these movies now work themselves into an Oscar race that, because of the voting style, because of preferential balloting, you know, I thought Roma, A Star Is Born were going to be contenders, yeah, no matter what, at the Oscars. Those felt like Oscar Best Picture winners.
I throw
winners.
Black Panther in there, too, for me.
Black Panther.
I mean, it's won a lot of precursors.
Could, yeah, jump into that conversation, especially with the popular film imperative, right?
Yeah.
But now, does the popular film imperative go to...
Does everyone back off? Oh, we don't need to reward popular films that much.
Yeah, not that much. But does it go to Bohemian Rhapsody instead of Black Panther?
All very fascinating, very interesting questions that were not, would not have been presented had tonight not happened.
We're forgetting one more addendum, Michael. Toni Collette still has a chance now.
Oh, yeah.
Because Emily Blunt...
I haven't forgotten.
Emily Blunt didn't win. Emily Blunt didn't win.
Coleman's in. Glenn Close is in.
Yeah.
Gaga's McCarthy's in. Might be out.
McCarthy's not a sure thing.
Right. Emily Blunt...
It's... Yeah.
Mary Poppins didn't win anything.
Didn't win anything. So, yeah. No, Toni Collette is still alive. She has yet to go to the treehouse.
Much like Paimon, she is a demon which will not die sufficiently enough for human life.
Slight possible spoilers in there.
And I'm going to slam my head into a desk
now. It is so late at night. We need to stop recording.
All right, guys. That is the Golden...
My brain is dead.
Globes in a thorough nutshell now. That's MMO Weekly. I am stunned. I am out of words. I hope we can do better for you next week. I hope we have more happy news for Film Twitter followers in the next coming weeks. We'll see what happens with the guilds. We certainly want to know what you thought about this show and what you think it means for the Oscar race going forward. Reach out to us, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, Mike and Oscar, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine. It is late. Mike and Oscar at gmail.com.com and on Reddit. We're available everywhere you hear podcasts.
I just fell asleep.
Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, etc. Michael?
Yeah, no, Kevin Hart. Yes, Maya Rudolph. Let's do more pods this week. We got a lot of good stuff coming.
I don't want to do any more pods. All right, guys. Reality sucks. This reality sucks. So keep watching films with us. We'll see you next time.
See ya.